Today is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. Our scripture readings are from Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 15, and the gospel according to Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. The message is titled, Amos, John, and Jesus. Amos chapter 7, beginning at verse 7, and this is from the English Standard Version of the Bible. This is what he showed me. Behold, the Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass by them. The high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel. For it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go, prophesy to my people Israel. Here ends the reading from Amos chapter 7, the Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 6, beginning at the 14th verse. King Herod heard about this, for Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. Others said, he is Elijah. And still others claimed, he is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago. But when Herod heard this, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to him. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, ask me for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he promised with an oath, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half of the kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask for? The head of John the Baptist, she answered. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went, beheaded John in prison, and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl, and she gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. Here ends the account from Mark chapter 6, Gospel. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know that things that were cast down are being raised up, and that the things that had grown old are being made new, and all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. That ancient Gelesium prayer from the Gelesium Sacramentary in our prayer. The last duty assignment for my father in the Air Force was serving at Hanscom Air Force Base, Bedford, Massachusetts. When we first moved there, we were assigned a small duplex on Offutt Road, right on the corner of Andrews Circle. And Andrews Circle is where all the single homes were of the upper-level officers who lived on the base. My dad's position was director of the Over-Horizon Backscatter Radar. And this radar could reach beyond the curvature of the Earth by bouncing the signals off of the ionosphere. By comparing relative motion of the returning signals, objects could be identified well over 2,000 nautical miles away. We lived on the base, and a new housing section was being built. And honestly, the construction of these buildings, it really was not that great. One officer, a colonel, would regularly go and check on the progress of the construction of the new larger duplex being built that he and his family would live in, half of it when completed. And when he saw trouble, it troubled him what he saw. The construction was shoddy, that he would regularly point out the flaws to the base command. Instead of listening to the colonel and taking corrective action with regards to this shoddy, questionable quality construction, he was banned from entering the construction area. Eventually, the only single-family home in this new construction area, this is the late 1980s, it was assigned to my dad and our family, 5 Freedom Circle. You know, it's just a couple stones throw away from where Paul Revere was captured along the Battle Road Trail. You can pull up a satellite view on Google Maps, and you can find these homes on the Air Force Base. And looking at that map, I can tell you much has changed since my dad's retirement in August of 1988. Now that house, 5 Freedom Circle, it had its own problems from bad construction. And one of the most glaring problems was the front door. You open the front door, turn your head sideways, and you look at the door jamb. You could easily eyeball that door is not plumb. It was out of plumb. You could see it. The top was up here and the bottom was down here. The plumb line, the bottom was more than a couple eighths of inches out of plumb from the top. I mean, it was poorly put in. I mean, the whole door tilted from the top to the bottom, several inches out of plumb. And there was other problems inside the house too. But there's three important things in building projects: a plumb line, a level, and a square. The plumb line is the best way to get that vertical up and down. Then you need the level to get your levels just right. And you need to get your square walls. That 90-degree angle is important too. Accuracy of these things is essential in building a proper building. And in like manner, keeping the word of the Lord is like making use of that plumb line, making use of a level, making use of a square, so that you stay true to the word of the Lord in daily life. Amos, John the Baptizer, Jesus, will be our guides today into the Word of God and the plumb line that you find there in the Word of the Lord. Amos was a shepherd and a farmer in Tokia, a village about 5 miles south of Bethlehem. This is the land of Judah. And it's compared to the 10 northern tribes that had split off from Israel and to form Israel. And that was about 107 years earlier when Rehoboam, son of Solomon, became king overall. Jeroboam said, "We don't like it." And the 10 tribes split off to the north. And so it's about 170 years later. And the word of the Lord came to Amos, sending him north to prophesy the word the Lord had given. The year is about 760 B.C. And it's during the time of Jeroboam, the second king of Israel, and Uzziah, king in Judah. During this time, the Lord was also speaking through the prophets Hosea, Joel, and Isaiah, too. Amos chapter 7, beginning at verse 14. Amos answered, "I am Isaiah. I was neither a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but I was a shepherd. And I also took care of sycamore fig trees. But the Lord took me from tending the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people, Israel.'" The kings of the northern tribe, they were bad from the very beginning with Jeroboam. And in that list of bad kings, the worst of all is Ahab. False worship had been set up by Jeroboam in Bethel in the south and Dan in the north. False places of worship with a golden calf in Bethel and a golden calf set up in Dan by Jeroboam, the first king of the 10 northern tribes now called Israel. And he did this so the people would not travel to Jerusalem to worship, and they may return to their hearts to that. 1 Kings chapter 12, beginning of verse 27, you find this reason. Jeroboam, "If the people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Whereupon the king, that's Jeroboam, the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." And he set one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. From the beginning, this beginning of King Jeroboam, false worship in the north went from bad to worse, turning away from the Lord God. Now, about 170 years later, the Lord God is sending Amos to the north. As the Lord said, for the Lord had left the plumb line held forth. That is shown there in Amos 7. The message the Lord gave to Amos to deliver was a message of judgment, as the Lord has come to inspect and examine the conduct as represented by the plumb line. Unrepentant sin, mark this well, unrepentant sin will grow into greater wickedness, and a time will come the Lord will act. Amos 7. Verses 9 and verse 11. "The high places of Isaac will be destroyed, and the sanctuaries of Israel will be ruined. With my sword I will rise against the house of Jeroboam." For this is what Amos is saying. Jeroboam will die by the sword, and Israel will surely go into exile away from their native land. The people would not listen. Instead of hearing and repenting, they tell Amos to get out of their land and go back home to Judah. Leave Bethel and no longer prophesy anymore. Remember, in Bethel is where one of the places the golden calf was set up for the northern 10 tribes to worship. Bethel was in the south, Dan was in the north. Amos had come to Bethel with this word of judgment. And they said, go home. We're not going to listen to you. Don't say anything more. Go home. Go home. Now fast forward 700 years. Coming now to the time of Herod the Great in Jerusalem. That's where the events that led up to John the Baptizer being arrested and put in jail and then beheaded at the request of Salome. It was actually set in motion during the time of Herod the Great. Beginning at Mark chapter 6, verse 17. For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested, and he had him bound and put in prison. Now that's not Herod the Great. That's a different Herod. Now at Mark 6. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him. But she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled. Yet he liked to listen to him. The family of Herod the Great, of which both Herod Antipas and Herodias and Philip are part of. It's really one giant intertwined soap opera. Herod the Great's called Herod the Great because he expanded the Temple Mount and had built many vast cities. He had at least 14 children with at least 8 different wives. Herod Antipas came to rule at the death of his father, Herod the Great. Herod Antipas is the Herod we read of here in Mark chapter 6. And this Herod Antipas is the Herod of Jesus' public life and ministry. Herod the Great, Herod Antipas' father, Herod the Great feared anyone who might usurp his power. He put to death several of his wives, several of his sons. Herod the Great is also the one that put to death the boys of Bethlehem from the coming of the wise men to Jerusalem asking, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We've seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Herod the Great so feared any usurper, he put to death anyone who might threaten his power and his rule. Children in Bethlehem, wives, his own sons, he put them to death. Now, I'm going to shorten the family tree for purposes of understanding here in Mark chapter 6, and it's this. Herod the Great's son, Aristobulus, is the father of Herodias. So Herod the Great's son, Aristobulus, is the father of Herodias. So Herodias is actually Herod the Great's granddaughter. Okay, keep that in mind. Herod the Great is also the father of Herod Antipas and Philip. So Philip and Antipas are Herod the Great's sons and their half-brothers. So Antipas and Philip are half-brothers. Philip marries Herodias. Herod the Great's granddaughter, Aristobulus's daughter, which makes Herodias Philip's niece. So Philip married his father's granddaughter, but his niece. Also, are you keeping this in track? I'll take a test later on. So Herod Antipas is the uncle of Herodias too. So you're starting to make it though. So Philip married Herodias, even though Herodias was Philip's niece, and Philip and Herodias had a daughter named Salome. Herod Antipas went to visit his half-brother, older brother, Philip, in Rome, where Philip was living and stayed. Philip lived in Rome. So Herod Antipas goes visits his brother. And while in Rome, Herod Antipas and Herodias fell in love. And together they decided Antipas would divorce his wife and Herodias would divorce her husband, who was her uncle also, to marry her brother-in-law, Herod Antipas. But at the same time, Herod Antipas was also the uncle of Herodias. Are you keeping things straight? Salome then was a young teenager, and she came with her mother back to Jerusalem to live with her great uncle, who is now her stepfather. So, I mean, you're getting all this thing. So that's just shortening this family tree. This Herod Antipas, is known simply as Herod through the Gospels of the time of Jesus' ministry. So Herod, chapter 6, that's Herod Antipas. So John the Baptizer is rightly pointing out that what is going on is wrong according to the plumb line of God's holy word. You find it in Leviticus chapter 20, beginning of verse 21. If a man marries his brother's wife, it is an act of impurity. He has dishonored his brother, they will be childless. And the people of Jerusalem, they were scandalized by this. The people, the Jewish people there in that area, they were scandalized by what Herod had done, taking his brother Philip's wife. It was a terrible and unpardonable sin. John was calling it out, saying what it was. And instead of repenting at the preaching of John the Baptizer, Herodias wanted to put John to death. Instead of letting the plumb line of God's word, that word of God which is so precious, correct her own life, Herodias wanted to get rid of the messenger of God's truth and put John to death. Herod was protecting John because he was intrigued by John. And viewing John as a righteous man and a holy man. So Herod saw something there. He shouldn't mess with John. Though it perplexed Herod also. Yet Herod gladly would go and listen to John too. Jesus, preaching and teaching, doing signs and wonders, proclaiming a call to repent. Many came to hear, many came and followed. At the same time, others rebelled against the message. Mark chapter 3, verse 6. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Instead of listening to Jesus and the plumb line of Jesus' words spoken to them, the religious leaders conspired to kill Jesus. Again, get rid of the messenger. Get rid of the message. The message to repent and believe, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Mark chapter 1, beginning of verse 14. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. When Jesus sent his disciples out two by two to preach, that's here in Mark chapter 6 also. This is what, and heal, go out, preach and heal. This is what the disciples did. Mark chapter 6, beginning of verse 12. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. Notice it said repent. Repent does not mean to ask for forgiveness. Repent does not mean ask for forgiveness. Repent, repenting, repentance is much more than that. And it's completely different than asking for forgiveness. Repent, the Greek word is metano, and it's a compound word, meta, changed after being with, and noel, which means to think. To reach the bottom line in conclusion. So it underlines really the moral culpability of everyone before God for every decision we make. So the verb metaneo, it means to change the way one thinks after being with. It is changing one's mind, changing one's purpose, a complete change in outward action that flows from a complete change that has taken place in the innermost part of who you are. You act differently because you think differently, and you think differently because the plumb line of the Word of God has come into your heart and measured you, measured the wall of your life, and you're seeing your life is out of plumb, which means the heart must repent. Hearing the Word of God, so the Word of God, that's the with the Word of God, you know you need to be changed. You think it through. So hearing the Word of God, listening to the Word of the prophets of God, bringing the truth of the Word of God into your life. It causes you to think and then become different. Martin Luther's 95 Theses, it begins with the focus on repent. The first three. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, repent, He willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. This word cannot be, and this is the second one, this word cannot be understood as referring to the sacrament of penance, that is, confession and satisfaction, as administered by the clergy. Three, yet it does not mean solely inner repentance. Such inner repentance is worthless unless it produces various outward mortifications of the flesh. In other words, it's change. A change is seen. These first three statements are for discussion of the importance of God's Word in the Bible for the holy Christian life, for living a Christian life according to God's Word. God's Word in the Holy Bible, the importance of God's Word for the Christian life, that daily life. It's the plumb line of God's Word in our daily life. When confronted with the Word of God and finds out that daily life is out of plumb with the Word of God, what will be the response? What will be someone's response? What will be your response? What's my response? When we read the Word of God and we see our life is out of the plumb truth of the Word of God, that plumb line of truth. The day of Pentecost came with the gift of the Holy Spirit. You find it in Acts chapter 2 where Peter preaches with the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit and very directly tells the people what they had done to Jesus. Beginning in Acts chapter 2 around verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Now jumping down to verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. The Lord sent Amos with words to speak in Bethel to the northern tribes of Israel. They would not listen and said to Amos, go home. Don't bother us anymore. John came to prepare the way of the Lord. It says John, Matthew chapter 7. John the Baptizer says, Matthew chapter 3, beginning of verse 7, when he, John, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. John called out Herod that his wife Herodias was not in accordance with God's word. Instead of repenting, Herod put John in jail and foolishly lusted after his stepdaughter Salome, vowing to give whatever she wanted up to half of the kingdom. Herodias manipulated the moment to have John murdered. John proclaimed the plumb line of the Word of God and died for doing so. Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says, make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. Jesus continued saying, You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings forth good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Jesus went about proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of God is imminent. It's at hand. It's imminent. It's right there. Instead of hearing the plumb line of God's word changing their hearts, eventually the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, teachers of the law succeeded in having Jesus put to death, having Jesus crucified. The truth of God's word is a plumb line is held out before you. Will you listen and be changed in heart? Or will you ignore and go on as before? Will you try to silence the messenger of the word of this truth, that the plumb line of God's holy word needs to be taken to the heart and be brought in such that you are changed through repenting? Repent. Change your mind. Changed. Be changed in your heart. And then be baptized in the waters of baptism. For it's through the waters of baptism that you receive the forgiveness of sins which Christ purchased on the cross for you in shedding of his blood. And then you'll also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And likewise, faithfully speaking the word of God, holding up the plumb line of truth to the culture, can mean that you are ignored. In other places, it means you are put in prison. In other places, you're even killed. Speak the truth of God's word and hold that plumb line out as set forth by God's word in today's culture. Some will respond, some will ignore. And watch as many today is as if they pull out a pair of scissors and look at that plumb line. They just cut the string of the plumb line. They want nothing to do with what God's word has to say into their lives. Cut the plumb line. Remove any measure of constraint on what the depravity of the human heart desires to do. And the human heart will do it. But still hold out that plumb line. For there may be one that repents and believes Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen one. And that one may call on the name of Jesus. And through the waters of baptism, be born again. That really is the purpose of the plumb line in Amos. The preparing of the way of John. It's setting forth God's holy word so it all points to Jesus. So all may repent and believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the crucified and risen one. That Jesus paid in full the penalty for sin on the cross. For it is finished in what Christ has done on the cross. And that finished work of the cross becomes ours through the waters of baptism, where we receive the forgiveness of sin and life eternal in the gift of the Holy Spirit. For Jesus is the Christ. And now that you've come alongside his word, will that word change how you think and change who you are? Be forever changed in heart, such that you too proclaim the name of Jesus to all. Amen and amen.